Today, I've heard a lot about living with fire, and to me it means that no matter what we do, it seems, from what I've heard, we're going to have bushfires. They might be bigger and better and so on, but we're going to have them. We can't escape that. And that these fires will affect people. That's why we've got to live with them. And it is people and what people value that is why many of us are interested in fires. Bushfires themselves may be unavoidable, but we can do a lot to avoid a lot of the impacts of those fires. And that is what our research is dedicated to. We are compiling the evidence to support sound practice in fire risk management in the area of community safety and resilience. We're also developing processes for assessing policies for fire management in terms both of their effectiveness and their economic efficiency. Economics research can force us to ask some rather difficult questions, or at least confront them. People have been talking about fires are good things as well, and from an economic perspective, there are always people that are winners, and there'll be winners even in the worst fires that you can think of in recent Australian history. There were big economic gains in certain areas. Is that what we want? Are we managing fires to get the most cost-effective, to get the most economically efficient outcomes for the Australian economy? Is that why we're managing fires? Or are we managing fires to protect assets at any cost? And that asset might include biodiversity, forestry, and so on assets, not simply concrete and lives. We need to know those answers to do a proper economic analysis, to come up with economic advice for policymakers. The same arguments apply, of course, to all mitigation strategies. Some mitigation strategies we've kept well away from looking at economically. Our research, though, on community safety seems to be a lot more readily accepted, and it supports current Australian practice in general. But what it does show is that communities can take, and do take sometimes, responsibility for their own fire risk. By taking responsibility, I mean, of course, sharing it with government and insurers, but sharing it, not simply denying that it's and saying it's someone else's problem. By this, I mean, for example, avoiding last-minute evacuations and defending well-prepared properties. By doing that sort of activity as part of a major package of community safety policies and programs, people can achieve very good outcomes in terms of safety and in terms of property protection and broader economic benefits. And we've documented that, and the fire agencies all have good examples of that. But full implementation of this approach, which I think would be needed if we were to confront more megafires or more big fires, if that's what is in front of us, requires that certain conditions be met. For example, people need to be confident that their activities, which can seem insane to, say, an American who looks at people staying and defending their property in an Australian bushfire, people need to be confident their actions actually can improve their safety or will be the safest actions to take and that they can protect their property. We can say from our research that from death databases and from all the fire inquiries and so on in Australia, we can say from that what is apparently the safest thing for people to do. But people, to be confident in what they're doing, need to feel safe as well. And there's a big gap between, I think, the two in Australia at the moment from our research. And I have to say that it doesn't matter whether it's in the urban interface or rural Australia. Part of this is receiving appropriate advice and support from fire agencies. And after the last comment on education, which I agree with, actually, I think not so much talking about education as engagement and support when that support is needed. That, in turn, requires realistic expectations from all the parties involved. A big issue there was raised earlier today in the area of the coronial inquiries and so on. In a culture of blame and liability, we're likely to undermine this whole effort at community preparedness and realistic expectations from all the different agencies. So part of our research is developing suggestions for reforming that system. in conjunction with the fire and land management agencies. To conclude, well-prepared communities supported by fire agencies using imaginative approaches to informing people at the critical time can limit losses from megafires.